again. Here's Cobra.
Thank you very much. Well, unfortunately, down in Houston, the city council changed a city ordinance in an effort to stop the robot brothel from opening. And it looks like that robot sex in Houston,
robot,
you're going to have to wait on another day. The dream is dead.
Damn it, and I just gassed up the Volvo.
I know, right? Yeah.
Now, this is going to take place in Houston proper?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it didn't say anything about the burbs.
They have a lot of really horny suburbs down there.
That's a weird point to make.
How do you know that?
Aware of this?
How am I aware of this?
Back that up with some evidence?
Horny suburbs.
Yeah.
Entire suburbs.
Yes.
How do you know this?
I have spent a fair amount of time down there.
And you just traveled the suburbs checking the horny level?
Well, no, I didn't do that, but...
How do you notice horniness as a overall group thing?
I used to have a meter that measured it as I would drive through a town.
Oh, okay, that makes scientific sense. He had a horny meter.
A hornometer.
Yes.
Yeah, a hornometer.
Was it that same wand that Borat had? Well, there is an article talking about that, and its companion piece is a story coming from Dallas. I guess there's some adult store called Bliss.
Bliss.
Slit.
You've never been there, right?
No, I don't believe I have.
You sure?
I don't think I know where this is.
You never took your hornometer there?
Yeah. Imagine how that thing would go off in Bliss.
The hornometer only works in Houston.
Again,
I don't have a Dallas hornometer.
I don't know how you designed it that way, but I applaud your scientific acumen.
I didn't design it. That's just how they're made available.
Did you get it at Kohl's? You're just making things up, and it's dumb.
Well, I'm sure Tony, our engineer, has been there before.
Fancy with the stars. I've been to Bliss in Phoenix, but not Houston.
This is in Dallas. Bliss is. And this is an adult store, and I guess maybe an old video store. And that's the thing. Like, when you drive to Oklahoma and you see... We all been there, right? We've been driving north in Oklahoma, and on the right, before you cross the red, you'll see a big store called KT's or TK's. You know what I'm talking about?
I haven't crossed the red in a long time. But
been a while.
I get the general gist.
You know, I guess maybe doing it about 50 times a year,
man,
growing up.
I know I've seen this Bliss somewhere before, and I remember thinking that that's a really weird place for a store like that because it's in like a neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Or something.
Is it like in Highland Park?
Well, no, not that kind of neighborhood.
Oh.
Ratchet things down about, I don't know, 60% or so.
Okay. Well, anyway, Bliss says that, hey, look, you want to have robot sex down in Houston, don't go there, because we got gals as well, right here at Bliss. Matter of fact, they're named Quinn, Abigail, and Stephanie. Three of them. Where you can rent them. They're sold for $7,000, and they can be rented for 40 minutes.
Sorry. No.
That'll cost you $40.
I'm not renting a certified pre-owned screw doll. No.
So it's $1 a minute, huh?
It's $1 per minute. Now, according to...
I can get out of that for $3.
According to the... Yeah, according to the owner, Kurt Lassberg, he says... Don't get mad at me. I didn't design the system. Men are visually and magnetically attracted to well-built female bodies. And I guess all these dolls look like Jessica Rabbit, you know, with tiny little waists and gigantic boosoms.
I like booms.
I know you do. They are full-on silicone dolls, Mike. So for a guy like you that really appreciates... The science known as silicone. I imagine you would like a full doll based on the same principles.
I might.
I wouldn't even be surprised if he already has one.
Yeah.
That would explain a lot.
Yeah.
What would it explain?
Just, you're always looking kind of tired and sweaty, weak.
Kind of.
Walk funny sometimes.
I don't look tired. I don't look sweaty. I don't look weak. And if I walk funny sometimes, it's because of my Achilles injury and nothing else.
From Nam?
Yeah, it's from Nam. Anyway, he says that many of these dolls have been rented. The thing is, though, and this is where I'm like Danny. If I have one declarative statement that I can make that I hope comes true over the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, is that I get off this planet without having sex with a robot or a doll. Or any of it.
I wouldn't
forget Pajamagram.
Put it in this term, or in this way of looking at it. You wouldn't reuse your own prophylactic, much less borrow someone else's used prophylactic, because that's all that is a giant woman-shaped prophylactic.
He says, the owner says, using a condom is mandatory. So not only are you having robot sex, you gotta wear a condom.
Rubber.
Yeah. Can we say condom?
Just say profi.
Rubber. It's better with rubber.
Oh, it's just so 1973.
It's kicking old school around here.
Grandpa bought a rubber.
We don't have much of a choice, do we?
No, you don't.
And they say that he gets 4 to 6 clients every week that rent the dolls, and he's yet to have someone that has bought one, but he does say that a few people have shown interest in purchasing said dolls for $7,000. And imagine, like, you know, you bring a date home and there's, what are their names? Abigail and Quinn and Marjorie all sitting there. Yeah, Quinn, Abigail, and Stephanie. And that's another
Marjorie thing.
I don't know. I was close. I got Quinn and Abigail right.
What if you want to bring home a real woman? Where do you stash the fake one?
I know. You know what I would do? I would just sit it on the toilet.
But what if you have to use the turlet?
Well, what's the risk you run? And would
that's
that
what having two bathrooms are for?
Would that freak your date out?
Yes, don't you think? And what if one of them developed really good artificial intelligence, and you're trying to get busy with your human date, and then in walks Abigail, and there's a malfunction, and she starts spinning around saying, "Don't forget Pajamagram."
Yeah,
don't forget
the
Pajamagram.
The only thing that they can do, they can't walk, but they can talk and smile.
Yeah.
That theory cannot be proven.
That's what they said.
Right.
God, that'd be great if they all spoke in robot Grego phrases.
Like what, Mike?
That would be good.
Mike, what if you had a date over and you sat Abigail on the toilet and then Pam or whoever was like, "Oh, Michael, I'm having so much fun here, but can you excuse me while I go use the ladies' room?
These oysters have put my bowels in an awful way,
right,
Mike."
Right. Have you ever heard of oyster diarrhea, Mike? And then she walks in there.
Because you're about to.
And then she walks in there and Abigail's like, "Hello, Pam." How freaked out.
Maybe she just said that.
How freaked out would the date be?
Pam.
Just sitting there nude on the toilet.
And she says small talking chit chat.
Small talking chit chat.
she just looks at her and goes, "Ryan, do you want to bet we're going to get Terrence Newman on the air?"
Anything else going out the ranch? Nothing?
What ranch?
Pardon the interruption.
Oh, man, that would be funny.
Well, anyway.
This is a bliss.
Oh, this guy says KT's has been closed for 2 to 3 years now. Well, the building's still there.
Oh,
dude,
yeah?
KT's, when you're heading up to cross the red on the Oklahoma side, not only is it an adult video, or was an adult video store, I swear to God it was 5,000 square feet.
Oh, they're
and it
massive.
Had this huge Amish red barn look to it.
And there was always 10 18-wheelers outside where guys had stopped to
man.
Get something.
It's so gross.
Yeah, but
I can't.
Those can't stay in business.
No, but that's the thing.
I mean,
they
got
say
your phone now.
Right, but they say that these businesses might make a comeback because of Doll. That now
robot might bring this back. Huh?
Well, and they're not robot, but just a doll. That there are, there's enough people out there that would be willing to go to those places. And can you imagine sitting in the lobby waiting on your turn?
Mangino Bear.
And out he walks.
Right. Like how, for the, you know, here comes Dan McDowell walking out, hoisting his belt, you know?
Oh, yeah.
What, do you just high-five your buddy?
You're going there now, huh?
Take your turn.
Is that what you want? Huh?
You going to be with Quinn?
Yeah.
Just don't know what I would do.
Yeah, so, you know, you're not going to out me or anything, are you?
Have you guys seen DWs as well? That's another one on 35. DWs and KTs.
Well, man, whatever. I haven't crossed the red in so long, it's not even funny.
I can't believe you hadn't crossed the red. And what
I
have you been doing?
Not crossing the red.
How long has it been since you crossed the red?
God, I'll bet. I don't know, maybe 15 years?
Really?
Maybe longer than that.
So you've not seen, like what Windstar looks like on the other side?
No.
Oh, that's probably the last time I've crossed the red is to go see a concert up there.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of shows up there, which is, dude, it's a okay. Great place to go to see a show. There's no doubt about it. I don't know about a great place to go across and have sex with dolls.
Great place to eat, great place to drink.
All that. I don't like the fact that they can smile either. Like, that's too weird. All of it's too weird.
You think?
Yeah. Wouldn't you just...
Come on, Corby. Loosen up, man.
Shut up. Wouldn't you just...
So uptight. Oh, God.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Do it.
The guy that can't go...
Come on. Let guys have fun.
Yeah, you're the guy that can't go to the bathroom when someone else is in there.
We're not talking about me.
Well,
We're not talking
about
me. We're talking about you.
You and your issues.
You're the one that's uptight, not me.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, hit up Bliss if you want to. It's there for you. There Bliss. For the taking. All right, we got to go.
Tonight at Bliss.
Tony the Engineer. One day we're driving around.
The Masters
around.
Presented by Easter. Or vice versa.
Sponsored by Easter. And the Travelers.
He is risen. Are you? Anyway.
So we're driving around in the car, and we are listening to the ticket, and suddenly there is a tease that one of you guys makes that coming up next, we review the movie Rocky IV.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh! So my kids are obsessed with not just Rocky, but mainly Rocky 3 and 4.
Yeah.
The most action-packed of all the Rockies.
Correct.
And so like, oh my God! Yeah! Finally something that we want to listen to on your dumb radio station.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So they were smaller.
Right.
They're not aware of any personnel up here whatsoever.
8 and 11 back couple then, years back?
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
Well, and to explain this just a little bit in the other direction, Brett only knows George because he's the one who farts. And it's really just the drop they play of George farting.
Uh-huh.
But of all the people up here at the ticket, they know me, Dan, and George is the guy who farts. And that's
this
all
is
they
where
know.
I will fart.
That's it.
Right. That's how they view where Dad works.
Right.
Dad, is that the guy who farts? No, that's not the that guy never farts. It's this guy.
So, anyway, I was like, you guys want to, we want to listen to, yes, we want to listen to this. And we were almost home. So we actually pull up in front of our house to listen to this. To listen to the bad radio review of Rocky.
Uh-huh.
Of Rocky IV.
Rocky IV, yeah.
The good one.
So, right out of the chute, here comes Bob. Now, just imagine being a little kid where you have seen this movie 50 times
right.
by this point. You think it is the greatest movie of all time.
I didn't know kids were listening.
Of course you didn't.
Yeah.
Of course you didn't. But they're just waiting for, you know, the high fives and, oh, Rocky's so strong and he beat the Russian and this is so great and, oh, it's the greatest fight of all time. And
instead,
can you believe Apollo Creed died and all of this?
And I'm punching Santa Claus.
And here comes Bob.
I just want to say this.
By the way, I love the start to that. I just want to say this. You know it's bad.
Yeah.
I just want to say this. I'm old enough that I was out when these things were released. I was surrounded by friends who were really, really into them, pinning me against the wall, telling me how important these films are. I would go to them with great anticipation because certainly all my friends can't be morons. And then I would sit there at the movie theater with my friends as they're all loving it and airboxing. And I'm looking around and I have decided I can either stand up to all these kids and tell them this sucks, what are we doing here, or I could just sit right next to them and act like I'm loving it too. And that's exactly what I probably did. And it took until adulthood for me to have the guts to say what needs to be said. Sylvester Stallone cannot act to save his life.
But that's what makes it so great.
He can't talk.
I was laughing out loud at every line.
He definitely has no idea how to edit down a film, although this one is so edited.
All right, at this point, and I'm not even kidding, I start to turn the car off, and I start to turn the radio off.
Let's go inside, kids.
My oldest grabs my hand, and I look at him. He goes, "No, I want to hear this." Like, he's just so crushed by it all that he wants to hear it. He's like, "No, Dad, I'm okay. I'm okay.
I can handle it."
Yes.
Can't talk.
His hero, you're saying, by the way, can't talk.
Right. I was laughing out loud at every line.
He definitely has no idea how to edit down a film, although this one is so edited down that it's actually a really short movie that has no substance whatsoever. I think the boxing scenes in these movies are just categorically comical. There's just nothing close to...
You don't like his form?
I don't like the fact
where
that
he accepts
every punch
the
is
face.
The hardest punch of all time. The number of concussions being dished out in one of these fights would be enough to slow down an entire nation of fighters, let alone two guys.
I think I'm laying into this one a little bit.
Now, I remember, wow, this is a couple of years ago, and my kids were a lot smaller. And there is a big difference between, you know, whatever it was, 7 and 10 and 10 and 14 or whatever it is
right
now. There is a big and so they are crushed. And then I get the, "Dad, who is this guy?
What is this man doing?
Like, what's wrong with him?" I'm like, "No, don't worry about it. It's Bob, you know. Just don't."
He was dropped as a baby.
Yeah, and they're just, they're in such shock that this could be said. So we're sitting there, car off, radio still on. I'm like, "You guys want to come inside?" "No, no, we want to keep listening." So here comes Bob from the top rope again.
Let me say something else about Rocky.
Let me just say this, too.
Let me say something else about Rocky.
She didn't know.
Adrian's a horrible character, too. Adrian is
bagging on the wife. The poor wife who worked at the pet store.
Tell Rocky he wasn't that great.
Listen to what it says about her.
Adrian is a horrible, beat-down character that from the very second she was on screen in Rocky 1 just sucked the life right out of the movie over and over and over again. She's bad at acting. She's not particularly pleasing on the eyes, which I suppose makes her more endearing, but...
She's ugly.
Wow. That's a different time.
That's as close as I can say to... That's as close as I'll get.
Pleasing on the eyes, which I suppose makes her more endearing, but come on. I want my champ to have the best that the world has to offer.
Yeah. Instead, Yoko Ono.
Instead, we got this pet store beatdown thing going on here. Paulie's a beatdown. The whole franchise.
Now, there is a...
You went and rewatched all these, and you decided after a second viewing some 40-some years into your life that you're like, "Yeah, I was right when I was a
teenager." I've probably seen this one 4 or 5 times, so... the obligatory part of any Rocky storyline in most Rocky movies is that Adrian has to be against what he's doing.
Always.
In fact,
she's never been for him.
She has told
anything.
Him, "You will lose," many times, I think against Clubber Lang. She has stated that. But then also,
I can identify with that.
Then the obligatory part of the story, though, is
what's more inspiring than a wife who's just wishing failure on you all the time?
But
so it's point, not only Rocky, the movie. It's Sylvester Stallone, who can't act or talk.
Shire.
Yeah, the wife. I mean, who's just the sweetest lady of all time. And just
I'm getting personal here.
Wants what's best for her husband.
No, but she's according to Bob, she's an ugly nag that wishes failure on her husband.
I believe a pet store beatdown.
Who's lying?
We just played you the audio from a handful of years ago. Bad Radio, Bob and Dan and Jake reviewing Rocky IV as part of the Movie of the Month Club at the Alamo Drafthouse.
Yes.
By the way, I'll be at the Alamo tonight in North Richland Hills screening the brand new Will Ferrell, Julia Louis-Dreyfus movie, Downhill. And I think there's still some straggler tickets available.
Okay.
If you want to go to drafthouse.com. Anyway, so you just eviscerated Rocky.
Yeah.
We're in the car, me and my kids, because they had some sort of off day at the time. I'm listening to the review with them, and you just crucify everything that not only Rocky IV is about, but the entire franchise.
Yeah.
Which they have held, at the time especially, held very close to their hearts.
This is certainly topic matter that I'm kind of on my own on, because I'm not sure there are too many movie franchises that America just feels better about than Rocky. Like, America loves Rocky.
Of course.
It's so red, white, and blue. It's so Cold War. We're not going to let Russia, you know, it's the underdog story. And somehow it missed me completely at that age. And then, as I got older, I started hating the city of Philadelphia more and more because of a couple bad experiences, like at the vet, that I swear I'm not an obnoxious guy, but that city, the first time I ever landed in Philadelphia, out of the airport, walked out the doors, and two cab drivers were literally in a fist fight, and I'm not even making it up. Like, the next two cabs in line, I was supposed to ride with one of them, and they're fighting each other in the street. And so I turned on Philadelphia, so now my taste for Rocky is ramped up even more.
Yeah.
And I probably forgot that little kids think it's Santa Claus.
You're not programming for
I'm not, but I don't want to upset your kids.
Well, dude.
I hope your wife is still okay with me, if in fact she ever was. But your kids, that's hard to ever reverse.
Yeah, because that's what's in their mind.
Right.
Their mind is, Bob, he hates Rocky.
Right.
And that's it.
Like, they're not like, man, this guy really understands running backs in this year's draft. No. This is the guy that didn't like Rocky.
And, like, all you do is you walk around down here with a sandwich board on that says Rocky sucks. Like, that's your whole life is getting the message out to others that Rocky is bad.
What an odd platform.
Right. Okay, so I sat down a couple of days ago, and I talked about this with my kids.
All right, I am here with my kids, Ike and Van. Van, how old are you?
I'm 10.
Ike, how old are you?
14.
All right, 14 and 10. Now, you guys,
would you stop playing that?
Man, his voice is...
I'm 14.
He sounds 14, man. Way to go.
Ike, how old are you?
14.
All right, 14 and 10. Now, you guys know that I have a new radio partner. Do you not? Do you guys know who it is?
Bob.
It's Bob.
It is.
It's Bob.
Boy, they sound beaten out of the gate. This might not go well.
Who it is?
Bob.
It's Bob.
It is. It's Bob. Now, is there anything that you would like to tell Bob? Is there anything that Bob has said in the past that has bothered you guys so we can clear the air? Because I'm going to be working with him for a long, long time probably. So I need everybody on board, including my kids. Is there any problem you have with Bob?
Yes, yes.
What is it, Ike?
He absolutely hates Rocky Balboa.
By the way, this is unprompted. Balboa. This is...
You didn't set him up.
No, this is just, hey, guys, I need to record you and ask you a question.
Yes, yes.
What is it, Ike?
He absolutely hates Rocky Balboa.
Because he's Satan.
Because Bob is Satan, he hates Rocky. Okay, yeah, well. Okay, so.
You're Satan? That's a first.
It is a first.
Because he's Satan.
Satan.
Because Bob is Satan, he hates Rocky. Okay, yeah, well. Okay, so why would a guy like that hate Rocky? Like, why would you guys think that? Like, what's wrong with Rocky? Is Rocky, in your estimation, the perfect movie, as far as like all of them together.
No. Yes.
We got dissension in the ranks here.
It's not?
I like it.
The only one that I don't like, I mean, they're all very good movies, but it starts to get a little off the hook with the third and fourth one, where the punches seem more fake than they usually are. Like, the first and second one is like real boxing.
Oh,
like,
no, it's not.
They're just like real boxing. But hey!
Okay.
Again, he's grown up a little.
Common ground.
Yes, yes. You know, he was seven whenever these movies are first presented to him, so maybe he's realizing through the years that the defense system of Rocky dropping his gloves by his waist in front of a Mack truck is not the best.
Maybe Uncle Bob isn't crazy.
More fake than they usually are. Like, the first and second one is like real boxing, like not as hard punches. And then when you get to the other ones, you have four. You got a massive Russian dude hitting like a freaking car.
Right.
Freaking.
Okay.
Like Mike Tyson hit like a car though.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but he was the only man.
No, he's not the only man. There's plenty others who have.
What, like Jelly Bean?
No, like Muhammad Ali.
Butterbean?
I mean, Butterbean was
Jelly Bean.
That's awesome.
So,
man, your kids know about Tyson.
That's what I was going to say, too.
And
so,
Butterbean.
Dude, Tyson hit like a Mack truck,
yes,
bro.
Yes, yes.
I love that.
And their reference, like, for boxers, like we were talking about this, basically Mike Tyson's career ended 20-something years ago. Like, he was done. But yes, they have an awareness of two people.
That's
that
good
might,
parenting.
Butterbean hit like a Mack truck. Jelly Bean and Mike Tyson. I think Ike tries to squeeze in Muhammad Ali in here too.
Man, there's plenty others who have.
What, like Jelly Bean?
No, like Muhammad Ali.
Butterbean?
I mean, Butterbean with a freak. Butterbean.
So is the acting, Ike, is the acting good?
He makes fun of
him. Yeah, the acting's good.
He makes fun of Rocky for talking too slow.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
By the way, again, this was like 3 years ago.
Boy, this is great.
And they still, that's fresh in his mind. And he was, you know, a little bitty boy when that happened.
Don't you attack Stallone's acting. That's
how dare you.
I remember you going.
Lines have been crossed, Bob.
Just like the
ding. Like, is the acting good?
He makes fun
of
him.
Yeah, the acting's good.
He makes fun of Rocky for talking too slow.
He does, doesn't he?
Yes.
Does he think Sylvester? Do you think Sylvester Stallone's a good actor?
Yes. And
all right. So, what's the best? If Rocky is not the best movie series of all time, what is?
Star Wars. Star Wars or Indiana Jones?
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park for you?
Probably.
Star Wars for you or Indiana Jones?
I say Star Wars.
Okay. Now here's.
See, Ike's right.
Jurassic Park?
No. I'm sorry. Van's right. Yeah, the little one. Yeah. Indiana Jones and Star Wars. That's the right answer.
Okay. Now, here's where I throw Bob really under the bus.
Oh, no.
Wait here's for
where
this.
Here's where I stoke the fire a little bit.
Oh, no.
Just kind of poke the bear. I just had to get a little bit more out of him here. Whoops. Here.
All right. Jurassic Park for you?
Probably.
Star Wars for you or Indiana Jones?
I say Star Wars.
Okay. All right. You know, he also hates Harrison Ford.
What? Now.
Is the GOAT.
We're having fun, Bob.
Now, this is where both kids, they're on the couch and they're all kicked back and they're trying to be cool and blah, 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 blah.
Flicking the ash off the cig.
Right,
does
right.
anybody hate Harrison Ford?
Well, apparently
now,
you.
You do.
Just you.
You do. So, here is where they snap to attention. It's one thing to just take a dump all over Rocky.
Right.
It's another thing to take on Indiana Jones and Han Solo.
That is crazy.
And so here is what you get.
Harrison Ford's a terrible actor.
You're a terrible actor. You're a terrible talker on the radio show. You shouldn't even be there. Jake should have taken your place.
Oh, no.
By the way, no.
The 14-year-old speaks.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, Bob.
And then I let him. I was like, dude.
You're a terrible talker.
A terrible talker.
Right.
Well, I mean, he's got me.
So then I was like, I go, look, he doesn't hate Harrison. Nobody hates Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford is the best.
Yes. And so
of all time.
They were okay with it. And then I said, you know what? He's come around on Rocky as well.
No, he hasn't. Man, that's great.
Was there more?
Those are some
stars. No. We let him go after that. We cut him loose.
What other bad things about Bob that they said did you edit out?
That was it. They don't know anything.
Don't say that.
They don't know anything.
It should have been Jake that got the job.
Well, you know, I mean, I get it. Totally get it.
I'll tell you what, though. For kids, you can't, when you're watching, when you're invested in something like that, like Star Wars.
Right.
Dude, and someone tells you that it's not good. Like Donovan. Like, if I told them right now that Donovan doesn't get Star Wars or Jake doesn't like Star Wars, you're basically telling them that they're stupid and that their whole life doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and it's at a time where any movie is pretty good. Like, there's
no
a
doubt.
There's a age where you turn on movies a little bit. You get just slightly cynical. Do we have a second? How are we doing on time?
Yeah, we got two minutes.
Okay. 2 minutes.
I have a question for you regarding your kids. I mean, this might be a bad question, but it also might show that my late afternoon listening has not been perfect over the last little while since your kids started starring a little bit in the show periodically. There's no way that drop is actually your kid, right? That drop is from, like, the internet somewhere, right?
Shut the F up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mino's tried to...
Shut the F up! Because
it does sound like...
Like Van... No, he's not.
What's the origin of that drop? I'm so sorry.
It's a kindergarten graduation in the hood. Do we have the full audio of that, David?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Literally, so it's a five-year-old
kid
who's screaming and yelling, and the teacher goes, Kenny, you need to calm down.
No. She walks in. She goes, hello, parents. Hello, students. Welcome to graduation.
We've got it.
Okay.
I hope this is clean.
If it's not.
Good afternoon, parents. Good afternoon. Boys and girls!
Shut the f*** up!
Hey!
Not
nice.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
You need to leave?
No, bitch!
Oh, man. Yeah, he's out.
Oh, my gosh.
He's out.
That's amazing.
That's a five-year-old.
Yeah.
So
this is real.
So the second one.
It's the same kid.
Like it was yellow card, red card.
Right.
First tech.
Yes.
Thrown out.
Do you need to go out?
No, bitch.
And you hear my favorite is the guy, okay, right at the end.
That's real.
Yeah.
Yes, that's real life in a kindergarten.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
One more time for fun.
Good afternoon, parents. Good afternoon, boys and girls.
Shut the f*** up.
Hey.
Hey.
Not nice.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Do you need to leave?
No, bitch.
All right. Okay.
And now that drop has been assigned to
Corby's youngest.
Poor Van.
Yeah, because of Mino.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, slightly believable.
There's
a
lot
that's
of people.
That's the problem.
A lot of P1s. People have come up to me before and been like, man,
where'd you
when
get
did
that?
He record like, Corby's kids doing
why,
that?
Why would I, if that did happen, turn that over?
Right.
Shut the F up as he's yelling at me or his mother.
I think people want it to be true just a little bit. Just that, hey, they don't get caught up on language.
We're super
house.
Cool. Hey, we were watching Game of Thrones, and he was like asking about incest and stuff. And so I was like, whatever, kid. And then he told me to shut up.
Oh, so amazing.
All right, Danny, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So, Corby, you played, it was either Monday or yesterday, the Adam Sandler tribute to Chris Farley that he wrote and performed and has been performing in his stand-up now for quite some time, but it was the first time I think any of us had seen it on Saturday
awesome.
Night Live, and it was really touching. It was very honest. It didn't pull any punches as far as who Chris Farley was, but it was a really transparent, fitting tribute, and I think we all thought it was very emotional and authentic, right?
Loved it.
I did. One of the best moments I've seen on SNL in a long time.
Well, I was so inspired, Corby, that I decided to pen a little number myself.
Uh-oh.
Eulogizing someone that we all used to know that has been gone now, by and large, for several years. But, man, when this person was around, we had so much fun and... Well, things just changed, and this person is pretty much dead to us all. And I'll just let the song speak for itself if you'd like to hear it.
All right.
Here it goes. My song, my eulogy to a long-lost friend. Pause it for a second. And by the way, I apologize for the character that I fell into while singing this song that I like to refer to as Weird Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
All right.
It's 4 a.m., another sleepless night. My mind on a long lost friend. My hands are shaking, my heart is breaking, 'cause I know I'll never see him again. It's so hard to conceive he could ever leave. My soul is starting to ache. Now I'm all alone, but in my heart I know it's time to say goodbye to the snake.
He died a long time ago, Mike, remember?
I sure do.
He's still here.
I don't know.
He's not.
He's just Corbin now, and he's boring as shit. I only see him now weekdays at 3. But there was a time back in 99 when he seemed so different to me. We had pint nights at Barley. He rode nude on a Harley. He did copious mountains of blow. But those late nights are gone, passing out on the lawn. Now he's someone that I barely know.
Oh, man. Remember 20 years ago, Corby?
Oh, I do. I'll never forget it.
Back when you were the snake.
I know.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry about the next two.
His weekends are now filled with youth tennis. And his festival days are long gone.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No Coachella days and Burning Man nights.
Burning
Just
Man?
Just more tennis and mowing his lawn. He'll be off with his family to his Gulf Shores home, fishing with Witten at the edge of a lake. But you know he won't be high. It's time to say goodbye to that phony once known as the snake.
It's the next two verses that I want to apologize for.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Hope your wife's not listening.
Oh, no.
I remember long ago one drunk night he got home and tried to claim from his wife 4 points. There was a boob over here and a boob over there. The room was spinning from craft beer and joints. As hard as he tried, his TF, it was denied.
Oh, no.
The next day, his wife asked him for a break. And I believe that was the day, through his hungover haze, Corby said goodbye to the snake.
Such, all true.
Such passion.
All true.
Is this really goodbye? Or maybe it was that one time after fight night.
Oh, no.
At a bar with young ladies of lust. He disappeared in the night. No one knew where he was. Probably passed out face down in their bust. Every hospital was called. His wife not enthralled, because he took all the molly he could take. And the next day he got grounded. His head, how it pounded, 'cause he knew he was no longer the snake.
All true.
All true as well.
Remember when you got grounded for a month?
Yeah, grounded.
Now all we're left with is Corby, and it's painfully boring. And I can't say now that I'm ready. Oh, how I miss the days of crack cocaine and Miller Lite. And puking up bowls of spaghetti. He no longer wears jeans. He drinks lattes with cream. And his side yard is perfectly raked. Yeah, he's useless as fuck. But maybe with a little luck, we'll have one more night with the snake.
It's tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. One more
tonight
night.
We ride.
One more night.
There
wow.
you
stick.
That was awesome.
Pushed them together.
Who was playing piano?
I don't know.
A third grader?
No. YouTube.
That's awesome.
You just Googled awesome. YouTube sad piano music. That came up.
Good Warren Zevon, Holmes.
I think the snake still lives. You don't see him as much.
I don't know.
He's around.
He does not.
We gotta find him.
He's always around.
I saw him at training camp this year.
We need to see him tonight. Is tonight the night or is tomorrow the night?
Maybe both nights.
Yeah, we'll see. May double up.
Snake can go back-to-back nights.
Yeah.
It's like the good old days.
I'll believe it when I see it.
It hurts a lot now.